I am fantasy and paranormal romance author Leslie Penelope, and welcome to My Imaginary Friends, a look behind the scenes of an author mapping the worlds in my head and making them a reality. Hello, friends. Today is Saturday, March 23rd, 2024, and this is episode 236 of My Imaginary Friends. I'm Leslie. Just as a reminder, you can sign up for the Footnotes newsletter, which includes show notes for each episode, as well as inspiration strategies and ideas to help you grow as a writer. And that is at myimaginaryfriends.net/footnotes. When you sign up, you can choose to become an imaginary best friend for a few dollars a month and support the show and also get premium posts, which are long form craft posts. Also, you'll get discounts on my courses and coaching. So join me at myimaginaryfriends.net/footnotes. This week's best thing. It's been a minute since I've done a full out personal episode, so a lot of things have happened. But this week's literal best thing that I found out about yesterday as I record this is my new book, Daughter of the Merciful Deep, got a starred review from Publishers Weekly. I will link to it in the show notes, and I made an Instagram post about it. I literally woke up and checked my email, which is a thing that I shouldn't do, and we'll talk about that in a minute, and saw this email from my publicist. So it felt really good, because if you have been on this journey for a long time, you may know that this book was a difficult one for me to write. People ask me how many books I've written, and I think this is, depending on how you count, I'll count again, because I think it was 15, but it is my 6th traditionally published book. And if you go back to my episode on writing through difficult times, I was writing it during the dissolution of my marriage, and it was just a time full of emotional hardship. Also, the story took me a long time to get. I rewrote this book twice, essentially. It's just been through a lot. It took me so long to find the story, and then I was never quite sure I was living up to the goals that I had and the vision that I had of the story of what it could be. It became something very different. I was actually listening this morning to some of the video diaries and audio diaries that I made when I was first conceiving the idea, because I'm going to be doing promo soon. And it's been 3 years. 2021 is when I first started. Fall of 2021 is when I first got the idea and started researching and brainstorming and doing all of that work. So 2.5 years. And to get to the point where it's coming out June 4th, and I'm so excited about it because I put everything into it, and it was a really difficult one. So getting a starred review, seeing reviews that understand what I was doing, that sort of the vision came into being for the reader in a way that was kind of just what I wanted, is so gratifying, especially for this book, for any book, but especially for the ones that dragged you through the mud to get to the other side. I also have ARCs, and let's do an ARC giveaway. Why not? I've got a couple of ARCs. I'm going to do a couple of ARC giveaways in different mediums. So if you would like this beautiful 416-page advanced reader copy of Daughter of the Merciful Deep, check the show notes for entry details and how to get yourself a copy. It's going to be US only, but the ARC is on NetGalley as we speak. So if you are a NetGalley member, go forth, read, review, please review. Also, if you have read my latest release, Brutal Fortress, please review it on Amazon, Goodreads, wherever you bought it from. If you bought it from me, Goodreads is great. I would really appreciate that too. I haven't spent a lot of time focusing on the Brutal Fortress release. A, because it's book 3 in a trilogy, and if you didn't read books 1 and 2, I mean, some people will say it could stand on its own, but I think that it makes much more sense when you've read books 1 and 2. But I will start doing more promotion. I'm going to run some ads, I think, but not until I get back, because I'm going out of town for a week and a half. I will be in Greece. It's my birthday month in April, and I'm going to Greece. So if you have any recommendations about things to do in Athens and Crete, I'm on a tour, but I do have like a free day and free time. So hit me up, hello@lpenelope.com. This is, if you're listening to this in real time, because otherwise I will have already gone and be back. Another best thing that happened since I've spoken with you last is I attended the ICFA conference, which is in Orlando, Florida. It stands for the International Conference for the Fantastic in the Arts. It's primarily an academic conference, but a lot of sci-fi and fantasy authors attend, and along with the academics, so they've got like, they're reading academic papers, and then there's authors doing readings and having panels. So I did a panel, I moderated a reading, and then I spent a lot of time at the pool, which is apparently what one does when one is at this conference. But it ended up being very relaxing, you know, being warm, being in 80 degree weather, and meeting lots of fantastic writers and having good conversations. And there was karaoke. I don't think that a writer's conference really is a complete experience without karaoke. I've done karaoke at Vona, at NINC, at RWA, at ReaderCon, and it just really makes the experience so much better and so much more fun. Karaoke makes everything better, if you ask me. So I am going to try to make sure that wherever I go, there will be karaoke. My writing update. So I'm working on a story which I'm calling The Book of Secrets for the time being. And it is this book that I've been working on and off, mostly off, for 10 years. Mostly off. If you will recall, I had submitted my outline to my agent, who gave me great feedback, worked on a new outline, cut it down to 2 pages because that's what I really want to send in to my editor, and, you know, got more feedback from my agent. And then it was like, okay, now it's time to write. I actually have to write the first few chapters for this proposal. So this is the proposal for my option book. And the first week I tried to write, I couldn't hear my character's voice. I didn't know enough about her. So I spent more time doing character work. I broke out all of the books. So many of these books on this back shelf behind me are craft books. Well, on some of the shelves are craft books. And I think I started with K.M. Wyland, creating character arcs. Then that led me into write your novel from the middle. I have Jeff Gehrke's Plot versus Character, because this very plot, the plot of this book came to me before the characters really did. Or the characters have shifted a lot in service to the plot. So sometimes I'm character first, and sometimes I'm plot first as a writer. And this book was definitely plot first. So the characters, at least my main character, has been really hard to find her. So I was like, okay, plot versus character, perfect book for that. Write Your Novel from the Middle by James Scott Bell, always a winner. Save the Cat Writes a Novel by Jessica Brody, always a winner, always out coming out of the shelf. I pulled down one of the books that's actually online on the onestopforwriters.com site, one of the thesauruses. I think it was the Negative Traits Thesaurus. I was just really pulling everything down, throwing it all at the wall, hoping it stuck. So I spent a week just doing more research, doing more character work, digging into the outline more, because my full outline, I think, is about 11, it's either 11 pages or 16 pages, and I can't remember which one. I feel like maybe, I don't know, one of those two. But then I've got this 2-page, like, sleek, streamlined thing for the editor to read. But I was adding more to the synopsis, the 11 to 16 page synopsis, whatever one it ends up being, because sometimes I need more detail. And then it was just like, I really just need to write. So this past week on Monday, I'm like, even if I just get 100 words, I'm writing something. Because I felt like I was starting to procrastinate. Like I didn't have it. Usually I need the first line and that gets me off and running. I didn't have the first line. So I was like, let me just write something. So I started writing something, and of course 100 words turned into a couple thousand. And Monday through Wednesday, I wrote 8,000 words. It was actually flowing really well. I was just writing what it said in my synopsis. I would write that scene. I chose third person limited for the POV. It kept wanting to be first person because I've been writing a lot in first person lately. All of the Bliss Wars books are first person. Daughter of the Merciful Deep is actually all first person. But this book felt like it needed to be third person. So I wrote 8,000 words and I was like, okay, I'm almost through act one. I decided I'm going to fast draft act one. So my fast drafting is writing, no editing, not even really rereading anything, just getting the first draft out as quickly as possible. Ideally, I would write the whole book. I would fast draft the whole book before doing any sort of editing and revising. But since this is a proposal and I'm not going to write the whole book first, I'm just writing the first chunk so that I can sell it, that's been causing me actually a lot of a lot of consternation internally, because the reason why I fast draft, as I'm sure I've said many times, is so I'm not wasting time. If I spend a lot of time editing chapter one, and then I go to chapter five and realize, oh no, chapter one actually needs this new character and these two new plot points, well then all the time I spent editing chapter one was a waste, which is why once I started fast drafting the entire book and getting to the end, I was much more successful in completing novels. But the task here right now is not to complete a novel, it's to complete a proposal, which is the beginning of a novel. So it's not time wasted, it's time used to sell a book, and then I will rewrite everything, I'm sure. Anyway, those 3 days, got good words. Well, I got words. I got a lot of words. I did not feel good about them. Now, I never feel good about my fast drafts, and I'm not supposed to. And I've written enough books to understand that's the process. And there's something to be said about intuition. And like, it's not just the problem where I hate first drafting, which I do, and it feels awful, which it does. It was actually, this is not the way this story needs to be started. And the only way I can explain it is that my intuition was firing. So beyond my normal dislike of first drafts, it was just from the core of, this is not right. And so I kind of stepped back on Wednesday and I was like, why is it not right? And I skimmed a little bit of what I'd written, and it was perfectly fine first draft, fast draft words, but I still wasn't hearing the character. I was just like writing. I felt like a journalist, you know, I was just like a journeyman writer, just doing the thing. And sometimes that's fine, but for this book, it's not. I'm really digging deeper on this one, and it just didn't feel like artistry, you know, it just felt like words being written. And just to be clear, first drafts do not feel like artistry ever, but it was something deeper. And somehow I got the idea that this needs to be an omniscient narrator. And I was like, is that what's missing? I've never really done omniscient, not in a whole book. I think the interstitials in The Monsters We Defy could be considered omniscient narrator. So I've played around with it in little pieces and maybe like short stories. But I was thinking, this book has multiple POVs, and I just defaulted to normal third person limited. Third person limited, if you're not familiar, is when you're third person, but you're in the character's perspective. You're just using, you know, he, she pronouns as opposed to I, where you are the character. Third person limited gets you a close, you can move the camera in and out. You can zoom in and out from being directly in their head to pulling back and seeing more of the landscape, doing the wide shots, doing the close-ups. But it is the most common modern perspective. But there's plenty of people doing omniscient. And so I just started researching, what are modern books that are using omniscient? What are modern fantasy books using omniscient narrator? Can I do this? It is very difficult to do it in a modern way and to be successful at communicating the emotions. So it was a very common point of view, you know, Jane Austen books are omniscient. I wanted to say Charles Darwin, that's not his name. Charles Dickens, you know, those kind of people, Georgette Heyer, you know, like all of these 19th century writers were writing in omniscient, and it just fell out of fashion. And so the question became, is this something that I can do well? And then I came across other examples of really great omniscient narration at a very high level, like a book that I read, Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow by Gabrielle Zevin, omniscient. And I reread the first couple of chapters to kind of sink into, you know, what is omniscient? How does it differ from third person and head hopping, which, you know, I don't do head hopping. And I don't know that I'm going to be at risk of head hopping, which is when you're in a third person narration, but then you're in this person's head, then this person's head, then this person's head, without a scene break, without a chapter break. That's fine to do when you break it up by chapters or scenes, but like within the same paragraph. And people do it and have been successful at it, but it's generally frowned upon. And I just don't know if it's the best way to do it. And as a reader, it irks me a lot. And I do have to be careful of letting ego get in the way. Like as a writer, I want to grow with each book. I want to tackle something a little bit harder each time. I want to challenge myself each time. But I heard something, I think it was Becca Syme said, that your readers don't want each book to be better than the last. Your readers want each book to be the same as the last, or to give them the same emotions and feeling as the last one did. So is it an ego-driven thing for me to want each book to be better than the last? I think I'm always trying to grow as an artist, and if I was doing this, striving for the same thing each time, I wouldn't be interested. I wouldn't be able to have a career, a long career, doing this if I was doing the bare minimum. If not the bare minimum, at least like not trying to grow. But I do want to have the readers have a Leslie Penelope experience with each book, even as I'm trying to grow. And as I was talking to my friend Inez in the more morning writing sessions, you know, she was like, do the readers want omniscient narration? And I'm like, that's a good question. But there are really successful books that have it. So there are some readers, especially with romance, I find, and YA also, where they're like, I don't like books if they're not in first person. I don't like first person past. I only like first person present. And it's like, I don't think those are my readers. If you're going to be that narrow with your reading, I mean, everyone has preferences, but like, if you won't read it, if it's third person present, you only read first person past or whatever, like, I can't help you. Maybe you're not for me, and I have to let that go. I would like a reader that's going to read the perspective that the book requires. And that's really what it is. And so that's kind of what I came to. I started writing my 8,000 words, and the book needed something different. And then on Thursday, I wrote like 1,500, 2,000 words in omniscient, and it felt great. And I was digging deeper, and it was like, this is what it needed. This is what I needed. This is what the book needed. This is what the character needed. I started understanding the character better. So yeah, that's my story of how, at the moment, this could all change. I mean, I've been doing this for 4 days, but at the moment, I'm doing omniscient. And it felt really good. And so also, since this is a proposal, I'm polishing as I go, which is normally the wrong thing to do. But I'm reminding myself I'm not writing the book, I'm writing the proposal. So I spent most of Thursday polishing those 2,000 words, whatever it was, that first chapter. So not fast drafting. I did a fast draft initially, and then I spent the next couple of hours going over it several times, doing multiple drafts, until I felt like I had something. It was also for me to make sure that this is right, that I can do this, that this is feeling good. The benefits of this POV are that it's allowing me to foreshadow. Since I do have multiple perspectives, and there's some characters who are off the page that are really important, it's helping me discover what they're doing. It's just giving me a lot. And this story, I believe, and my intuition is telling me that it is better for it. So listening to your intuition as a writer and cultivating it and developing it, I don't know that I have a lot of advice for that other than you have to just write more and try to write intuitively. I think I want to develop some advice for this because it is a really important part of the process. But I think it takes time. Like in my first book, I was doing whatever I wanted to do. So the first draft of Song of Blood and Stone, my first book, it was 50,000 words. I was self-publishing it, so I hired an editor, a developmental editor, and gave her this 50,000 word epic fantasy. And she was like, no, it has to be longer. None of this makes sense. You must expand. It's like, oh, okay. So I can't say whether it was at that point my intuition. I was like, oh, I can do a, it was supposed to be a novella. And I thought 50,000 words was a novella at the time. And I was calling it the novella. And eventually the first version was 88,000 words, which made a lot more sense. But so there's like ignorance. There's just, you don't know what you don't know. And you're following your instincts. So is there a difference between instincts and intuition? And I don't know. But how do you have intuition when you have so much ignorance? There's that. You have to reduce your ignorance by gaining knowledge before you can trust your intuitions. I think that ignorance and instincts go well together. And then maybe there's this point at which you cross over from instinct to intuition. And that incorporates more self-knowledge, external knowledge of craft, business, all the other things. And it takes time and effort and maybe mentorship, maybe advice from others, maybe edits or feedback on your work. I think there's a lot that goes into it. But it's something that I think is worth exploring a lot more. If you're listening to this in real time, I'm doing a workshop on Tuesday, March 26th on the Authorpreneur Path with the Metro West writers. And there's a link in the show notes about that if you'd like to register. My calendar is super full. So check out lpnlp.com/calendar for all the events. If you're in the Poconos area of Pennsylvania, I'm doing the Poconos Writers Conference on April 20th. I'm offering critiques of writing. So if you register for the conference, the registration is free. Critiques are $20 each. The deadline is April 1st, 2024. So if you are interested in getting a critique and coming to this writing conference, I will be there with other authors like Randy Dawn, Josh Pelletier, Michael Ventrella. Check out the show notes and the links for that. And if you'd like a critique from me for $20, April 1st is the deadline. I'm sure there's other announcements that I'm forgetting, but if you want to see me out and about, check out the calendar for details, because I'm adding to it all the time and it is very busy. And every year I'm like, I'm going to say no more. I'm going to do less and do it better. And I fail at that. But I'm okay with that at the moment. I am actually in the middle of being quite overwhelmed, trying to manage it as best as I can while still like doing things. I want to go places and teach and meet people and do fun things. And so maybe doing less can wait some more until I'm ready for it. I'm also having a lot of fun with the interview series that I'm doing for the podcast. The one with Beverly Jenkins was the last one. Coming up next is P. Jelly Clark, who was wonderful to talk to, whose books I love and has a different perspective. I do think I need to talk to more men, because I think that men have a different perspective about this than women oftentimes. I mean, obviously everyone is a unique individual and a special flower, but I found that it was very different. So yeah, that's just a note to myself, that getting a wide range of opinions from people at different stages of their career and with different backgrounds and forming this, you know, this body of knowledge about authors' views of success from people who have achieved some measure of it along the spectrum. And yeah, I've got other great interviews lined up that I can't wait to share with you. So to recap, if you would like to enter the giveaway for the ARC of Daughter of the Merciful Deep, check the show notes. There will be a link. If you're on the Footnotes newsletter, it will be there too. And yeah, that's it for me for this week. My goals for the coming week: continue writing the Book of Secrets and continue getting my time management together so I'm feeling less overwhelmed and able to do the things I want to do and just not feel like at the end of every day, I just melt into a puddle on the couch and watch Farscape, which is what I've been doing. I've been enjoying Farscape. I'm on season 2 now. I don't know if I mentioned I was watching it. Probably not. I've watched episodes here and there, but I was never like a watcher. So now I'm binging it. And it is a strangely comforting show. Not quite as comforting as something like Leverage, because I feel like the show is getting a little dark, but maybe just because there's so many Muppets. And it's like, there's a level of cheesiness, but a level of earnestness, and then a level of, you're not quite sure what these people are going to do, because they're not like, it's not Star Trek, which I love. Anyway, those are my goals for the week. And I will talk to you the next time. For episode show notes and to get the Footnotes newsletter and get the show notes in your inbox, go to myimaginaryfriends.net. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and check out the video episodes on YouTube. You can email me at podcast@lpnlp.com, and I would really appreciate a rating or review to help support the show. My Imaginary Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. For more fantastic podcasts, go to frolic.media/podcasts.